Denodo Data Bytes. Welcome back to Denodo Data Bytes. I'm your host, Neha, and in this final episode of the three-part series on scaling innovation with data products, data marketplace, and now AI, in this episode, we're exploring one of the most talked about topics in the data world, AI, and how it intersects with data management. From integrating with leading LLMs to enriching data through SQL and enhancing data management with AI-powered recommendations, Denodo 9.0 is built for AI acceleration without compromising control. To help us unpack this, I'm joined by Dominic Sartorio, our VP of Product Marketing. Dominic, welcome back. It's great to have you with us again for this final chapter in this series. Can you give us a quick introduction about yourself and your role at Denodo for our new listeners, please?
Hi, Neha, and thanks for having me back. My name is Dominic Sartorio. I'm head of product marketing here. I've been with Denodo almost 2 years now. Wow, time flies when you're having fun. But my role here is responsibility for all of our product marketing. That includes our messaging, all the content we put out there, some aspects of our enablement, also some aspects of our digital, like running our corporate website, among other things, and also our customer marketing. So, but most of my job focuses on understanding how the market for data management is evolving and Denodo's position therein and how we can best represent our great capabilities and the value to our enterprise customers.
Thank you so much for sharing, Dominic. I'm very excited to get started with today's conversations. Let's dive right in. My first question for you is, starting with the big picture, how is AI changing the way organizations think about managing and protecting their data?
Yeah, that's a great question, which many data leaders are asking. AI does change a lot of things. But it really comes down to a changing definition of what it means for data to be trusted. So let me unpack that a bit. Before AI, what it meant to trust data typically was through a governance lens. You had to vouch to regulators, for example, that the data you were using was clean, so the data quality was good, and it came from the right sources of truth. So having the metadata, having the lineage to ensure that, and also ensuring that the business meeting was clear. So you saw a lot of investment in data catalogs and business glossaries to ensure that the business purpose of data was clear. And before AI came along, that's what it meant to trust data, that it was well-governed and it was clean and accurate. But in the context of AI, what does trust mean? AI, for the most part, is operating autonomously on a very broad array of data coming from all parts of the organization, and you have to trust the results. So in order to trust the results of your AI, however, you need to trust the data that the AI was basing its responses on. And so we've seen this in a lot of contexts. So let's take an example that I think most of our listeners will be familiar with, which is chatbots. Let's say a chatbot that's on the website of a company that you're doing business with or you're a customer of. I think we've all seen these chatbots. And increasingly, these are Gen AI powered chatbots. Well, how frustrating is it when you ask the chatbot a question and it's giving you an answer where you know it's not correct or it's not up to date as of the most recent interactions that you as a customer have had with the organization, or if it just says it doesn't know? So that does not engender trust, right? And you want to be able to trust that its responses are clear, accurate, up to date, and comprehensive in that it did, in fact, use all the data that's potentially available to it. So trust now has a different meaning. Can you trust the responses the AI is giving you, you know, as you would trust a human being's responses to the same questions if that human being was fully knowledgeable and aware and had the subject matter knowledge and so on. So that's a different definition of trust. It's no longer sufficient to say, is the data clean? From the perspective of your traditional data quality rules, which is that it's spelled correctly or it's deduplicated and so on and so forth. Nor does it mean that it's just coming from authoritative sources of truth, but trust has additional meanings as well. One meaning is relevance. Did the AI look at the most relevant data for the question that was posed to it at the time, or the context and business context in which it's being used? And that's important because given data can be scattered all over the enterprise. Customer data, for example, can appear in many different applications. It could be overlapping across applications. It could be copied from one place to another with different context being added to it in its different locations. So how does the AI know it's actually pulling that data from the most relevant source of truth, given the prompt that was given to it, or given the question posed to it at the time? Another version of trust is it timely and up to date, right? So the chatbot example I gave earlier, if a customer sees it's not aware of the most recent interactions, like the most recent purchase you may have made, or the most recent interaction on a customer portal, then that does not engender trust either. So is it timely? Is it up to date? And often you have the challenge where an AI may be sourcing from the most from a relevant data source and a source that's well governed, so you can trust the quality, but it was not up to date, right? It may be up to date only as of the most recent ETL batch job, for example, but it's not being kept real time up to date. So those are just examples. The definition of trust is expanded. And for organizations that have a traditional data management posture, where they're looking at traditional data quality rules or traditional lineage that they may have put in place for regulatory compliance many years ago, then they're going to fall short. They're going to have an AI that may be looking at clean and correct data, but maybe not the most relevant data or the most up-to-date data. And without that, it's hard to trust the results. So that's one way that organizations are changing how they think about managing their data. There are two others that I want to touch on, and I kind of mentioned them already in my response to your question so far. But one that is important is unifying structured and unstructured data. So traditionally, data management applied to structured data. You took transactional data from different enterprise applications or SaaS applications like Salesforce, and you move them to a data warehouse or a data lake. And against that, you did traditional analytics and business intelligence. So that is all structured data. And for the most part, data management practices applied only to that structured data. But meanwhile, you have a lot of unstructured data out there. Think of all the email content and all the attachments, Microsoft Office files, Google Docs, and everything that might be sitting in your SharePoint, or just notes that your different employees may be taking and sharing it through a central repository. All that unstructured data accounts for a tremendous amount of an organization's data footprint. Gartner recently estimated an average of 70 to 90% of a typical enterprise's data is of this unstructured variety. Well, increasingly, AI is capable of leveraging that data. So generative AI in particular is quite good at taking in unstructured data. And as long as it's properly embedded and vectorized and such, it can do some pretty amazing things with it. So now organizations are thinking, hey, how can I capture not only the structured data, but this other 3/4 of all the data in my enterprise, the unstructured data, and make it available to an AI so it can provide, even more comprehensive and accurate answers to its questions. But what does it mean to govern and manage unstructured data? So there are some new concepts there. And finally, the real-time nature of a lot of AI. So data management practices in the past have typically focused on governing and managing the data that was your single source of analytics. And often that took the form of populating a data warehouse or a data lake, and you had regular batch jobs, or you had data pipelines running at specified intervals. But that data set was typically not kept up to date in real time, always on real-time replication, and that way can get very expensive. So typically you were looking at a snapshot of data from some time in the past. It could have been yesterday or even an hour ago, but it's typically not real time. But the problem is most AI applications are real time, like the chatbot that I mentioned. And increasingly, you have AI agents running fully autonomously, and they are, in fact, executing a business process that's working in real time and needs to have access to real time data. So increasingly, you have these operational workloads that require real time data in order to be trustworthy. So I guess the combination of all those things, the definition of trust is changing, the unification of structured and unstructured data, and finally, the operational real-time nature of a lot of AI workloads is completely throwing a lot of existing data management practices for a loop. And data leaders are being presented with this challenge now when they're being asked to deliver data for all the AI initiatives in their organization.
Thank you, Dominic. It was actually very interesting to understand how this definition of trustable data is changing over time and for different types of unified or unstructured data. So I want to understand a little bit more about it. So we hear over 70% of the average enterprise's data is unstructured. Can you share some real-life examples of how companies are using it to pull out helpful insights like summaries or sentiment while still keeping things secure and well-managed? Like you've given us an example of the chatbot, but if you can give us some company-specific examples.
Yeah, I'm happy to. So here at Denodo, we're blessed to have several customers that are now using Denodo in production to support live production AI workloads. And there are three I can give as good examples, and I think the use cases are easy for everybody to understand. And all three are chatbot kinds of examples, which I think the use cases are very understandable. So one is Perkins Coie, the law firm. So, and they serve mostly large enterprise corporate clients, and they deal with very complex corporate law. The cases they deal with are very complicated, and they have to pull from, and the lawyers and paralegals involved in them have to pull from a very broad array of legal precedent. So many court cases, the language of the law itself can be quite complicated. And then you throw in there, it's not just the laws in one country, because many of your clients are multinational. So just the complexity is incredible. And for the most part, this is unstructured data they're dealing with, like legal documents and case histories that were written down by a previous lawyer or a judge or a government. So Perkins Coie, they wanted to enable all of their customer facing folks, so both legal folks, as well as administrative, to be able to be much more productive in responding to customers. Often very complicated questions. And so they don't have to manually do all the research themselves. And in many cases, they may not even be aware that a specific document even exists that is highly relevant to their question. So they built a PC chat, so Perkins Coie chat, basically a chatbot used by their internal legal staff that had relevant access to all of their relevant legal documentation. And it would mine all those different documents and then present an answer. And of course, then their legal staff then looks at that answer and validates, yes, this looks right. And we're looking at the correct data. So they're not like fully automating responding to customers just yet. But this tremendously is improving their productivity. And so the way this chatbot worked is it's built on top of Denodo. So Denodo provides a single data access interface across all of this disparate data. And it also provides a data privacy framework to ensure that, depending which Perkins Coie employee and on behalf of which customers the question being asked, that only the right data that they should have access to is being returned. So that's one example. A couple of other examples I can mention. And another one is a manufacturing consultancy based in Germany called Festo, a longtime Denodo customer. And their clients are manufacturers across industries, automotive, other industrial, where you're dealing with the manufacturer of very complicated products with complex bills of material and complex supply chains. and the manufacturing processes themselves can be quite complicated and also subject to change through innovation, and including the use of AI. So here again, actually, similar to Perkins Coie, they're dealing with, you know, very complex and distributed data sets with product documents, with complex bills of material, complicated histories of different Festo consultants who've worked with different industrial clients in the past. So just an incredible body of knowledge that Festo has collectively across their organization that an individual Festo employee is not going to have it all in their heads. But when that consultant is out there engaging with one of their industrial clients, you want to provide an easy way for them to get access to all of that information as they're serving that client. So similarly, a chatbot that provides their consultants, just like the Perkins Coie legal staff has access to their enterprise-wide data. And a final example from another industry, financial services, is Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, based in South Africa, financial services organization that serves high net worth clients, managing quite large and complicated investment portfolios. And there again, you have client-facing staff that engages with these high net worth clients in order to give the best advice and respond to often pretty complicated investment questions. And here again, the challenge of you have very widely distributed and a lot of it's unstructured data sets representing a significant body of knowledge that any one customer-facing employee is not going to have in their brain all the time. So to use a chatbot type of experience where they can easily get access to that and see the response and use that relevant data in order to serve their customer better. So in all three scenarios, you have very complicated and distributed, both structured and unstructured data, actually mostly unstructured. You have human employees facing clients that have very complicated questions and problem statements. And there's no way that one human being is going to have in their brain, you know, at the tip of their frontal lobe, you know, exactly the right information that is relevant to the question they're dealing with at the time, but use AI for that. So they built these chatbots on top of a single data access layer provided by Denodo, which is making them much more productive and much more comprehensive in the answers they're giving. So again, these customers are in production and they're already seeing tremendous productivity and accuracy benefits on the part of their customer-facing staff.
Very interesting. Thanks, Dominic. It's, you know, like from legal to financial services to manufacturing, this is quite a wide range of industries where Denodo is helping assimilate data, sort data, and like helping these organizations better understand the data that's available to them through the single data access layer that you mentioned. So Denodo's AI tools now help AI developers manage data in a more self-service way is what I understand from what we discussed. So how do those tools help AI teams deliver AI projects faster and also ensure the business can trust the results?
Yeah, great question. So each of the chatbots I mentioned from the three customer examples I gave, there was an AI team who built those chatbots. It was not the data team who built them. It was a separate AI team that really operates like an application team. And the idea of application teams existing in the business, being accountable to the line of business, is not new. Enterprises have been building custom apps or customizing off-the-shelf apps for many decades, but they're treating the development of these AI chatbots and agents basically as another type of app, right? So now they've spun up these AI teams to build chatbots and agents, and those AI teams, often they're not data experts. They're not data management experts. So they're like any other data user in the business that needs access to the right data, and they need to be able to optimally utilize that data given the nature of their app and the nature of its workload, and they'll struggle with that. So some of the AI teams that Denodo encountered when we were first building our AI specific features had questions like any other business end user of data would. What's my source of truth? Where should I be going to get this data? How do I know this data is the most relevant? How can I be sure that I'm following the right data privacy requirements? And once I found the right data, how do I access it? It seems like every data source has its own dialect of SQL or has its own APIs that I have to learn. How do I make sure that data is out of date and it's not just a snapshot as of last night's batch job? So they face all of these questions, and answering all these questions is slowing them down. And as you can imagine, you know, all the hype and energy around AI, and hype that I think is real, by the way, many organizations, C-level executives, all the way up to their board, wants to innovate fast with AI. So you can imagine the pressure that these AI teams are facing, with senior executives in the company perceiving, you know, we can't possibly innovate fast enough. And then they're being slowed down by these data questions. So along comes Denodo. I mean, we've been solving these kinds of problems for many years, presenting the business with a single data access layer where they can find, you know, access and optimally utilize the data they need, exactly the data they need, regardless of where it sits, regardless of where it came from, or, you know, if it's already in a lake house or still in its original source systems, regardless of where it is, in order to get the business value they want out of it. So as of our more recent releases, 9.0 onwards, we've invested in the tools specifically to these AI developers. So this particular class of business consumer, these AI app developers who need data, right? So that's the purpose of the AI SDK, which we rolled out along with our 9.1 release about 6 months ago. And it's gotten even better in our recently released 9.2 because we incorporated all the feedback from our early production customers. But in short, the AI SDK, it's a single toolkit. It's a set of tools that an AI developer can use to deal with the whole life cycle of data management as their AI app needs it. Discovering and finding the right data, ensuring it's the most relevant data, ensuring that privacy and other governance and compliance rules are being met, ensuring that the data they're accessing is real-time up-to-date, ensuring that it performs. Some AI applications are very data hungry. They need access to massive volumes of data at any one time. So the performance and controlling for the costs is important. All of that is important. And then presenting that in a way that the AI app developer can easily consume it. It's one component, just one toolkit as part of their overall development environment, development experience. And that makes all of these data headaches and data questions a lot easier to address. And then it results in their AI chatbot or agent being delivered that much faster. So the three customers I mentioned, they all corroborated this. They went from starting development to going live in a matter of months, just 3 or 4 months. And that included all of the validation, all of the end user acceptance testing, tuning and testing for performance, et cetera. That's incredibly fast, all things considered. But they said, yeah, the AI SDK just made everything move that much faster. They could trust the data. One example mentioned by one of them was, they had originally been going down the path of having to build APIs to many tens or potentially even hundreds of data sources for that chatbot to pull all the right data. And that would have been a gargantuan task. But with Denodo, they only had to build one. They only had to build one data agent built using the AI SDK. And that got them access to all of their corporate data in a manner that they could trust. And it was relevant. And it was real-time data. So they were able to move forward that much faster. The final thing I'd like to mention is this idea of data marketplaces. And this is new in 9.2, where out of the box, we have a data marketplace type of experience that is very easy for business end users to understand. So with 9.2, you have the ability for the business themselves, they could author their own data products, publish them on a data marketplace, an e-commerce-like experience, and then other users can consume it. Well, data products is a natural way for AI developers to think, because they want to have a data product that aligns with their AI application, whether it's a chatbot or an agent. And then that data product is one thing that they can manage, which encapsulates all the data they need. So the idea of creating their own data product, publishing out a marketplace so that you know, their own downstream users can use it. And also in many enterprises, it's not just one AI app they're building. It's many. There are many agents, many chatbots being built. So having a single marketplace by which these AI teams can share their best ideas and share the best data so they can leverage each other's work is really powerful. So we're starting to see some customers taking advantage of that as well now that 9.2 is out the door. So anyway, a lot of different things Denodo's doing to enable AI developers to be more successful and do it more quickly. You know, the AI SDK, which provides a single set of tools for them to manage all of their data. And then the data marketplace where they can share all of their best ideas with each other.
I would definitely agree and very well summarized. To deep dive a bit further, data management can be tricky when it's unclear how the business is using various data. So how does the new Denodo assistant help users figure that out faster, especially when there's no obvious relationships across data sources?
Yeah, we get this question a lot, like especially organizations that have recently adopted a modern cloud native data stack like a Lakehouse, you know, Snowflake, Databricks, or the equivalents coming from the hyperscalers like BigQuery. And those are amazing analytic platforms. And, you know, nothing I say here should be construed as saying those investments were somehow not worth doing or not worth continuing. They absolutely are. But one thing they were not really designed to do is to provide that clear business context of all the data they're managing. In short, they lack a semantic layer, right? And we get that question a lot from prospects like, tell me more how Denodo can implement a semantic layer on top of my existing Lakehouse. So a semantic layer, I mean, that's a great buzzword, but what does it mean exactly? Think of it as a single metadata layer or metadata repository across all the data within your enterprise. And includes all the following kinds of metadata. So it does include the technical metadata, right? Like what systems and apps is data coming from? What's its format? What tables and columns, et cetera. But it also includes business metadata. Like what is the business context of that data? Just using basic human language, how would you describe this data? And for what business processes or business context is it being used? So that usually has been the domain of business glossaries and enterprise catalogs, but it's a critical part of AI developers being able to leverage all the data in their organization. Like in the examples I gave earlier, you know, if a question is being posed of a chatbot, how does that chatbot know it's deriving its answer on exactly the best fit, most relevant data out of all the data that may be available to it? It's pretty much unsolvable unless you have that business context kind of metadata. And finally, another type of metadata, it's called operational metadata, but what it really means is where and how that data is actually being used, right? So Denodo will maintain a history of all enterprise data. Where is it being used? By whom and when? What applications? What clients? And that way it's building a picture of where that data was the most relevant, where it got the most usage. And that helps inform the semantic layer even more. So basically dynamically updating it, right? And so you've probably heard of architectures like data fabrics, you know, and active data architectures as recently promoted by Dresner, the analyst firm. They all depend on there being this dynamic feedback of as data is actually being used, to take that usage statistics and having it inform your metadata layer regarding what's the most relevant data going forward. So Denodo's semantic layer includes all of these things. And it's critical for AI success, because that's how you know what data is most relevant, what data is the most trusted. Is that data up to date? Where has that data been used in the past? I mean, that's all useful metadata for an AI to be sure it's answering the right questions. So now how do you generate that? How do you generate all that metadata? That's where the Denodo Assistant comes in. So the Denodo Assistant, it's a set of features within the Denodo platform itself. Data engineering, our data engineer end users would use it. And as you're onboarding a new data source, let's say you're connecting in to a new data lake for the first time or a new business application for the first time, you know, not only are we generating the right views of that data based on its technical metadata, but we'll also auto-generate the right business tags and attributes. And we can do this with unstructured data as well. There are ways that we use AI to enrich unstructured data to understand, for example, its sentiment, or is it positive or negative, or, you know, looking for specific data elements like customer records and so on. All of that is now possible, and that's part of what we call Denodo Assistant, this collection of AI assisted features, essentially to generate all that relevant metadata. And so then downstream users like your AI developers can start taking advantage of that right away. So those are the different ways that Denodo helps AI developers get going. Basically, it comes down to a semantic layer and the different ways we have of populating that semantic layer, auto-generating the right tags, attributes, and other business context so that downstream users and AI developers can be sure they're using the right data for their initiatives.
Thank you for sharing, Dominic. So the pace of AI has been incredible, with new tools being released seemingly on a daily basis. So what's the best way for companies to move quickly with AI, but still stay responsible and follow the rules around data use, in your opinion?
Yeah, great question. And we've seen organizations that are not yet our customers, they go down the path of saying, okay, let's spin up AI, various AI teams, and just run full speed ahead, you know, building cool agents and apps with AI. And they do it without really thinking of their data strategy, right? And so we've seen this a lot, and there's been a lot published out there already on how organizations, they're executing an AI strategy, but they did not first make sure their data strategy is aligned. So as a result, you have these AI teams running full speed ahead. They'll just pick up whatever is the then coolest or most current set of AI tools, like the latest large language model and the latest tool chains, and then they'll just run full speed ahead, right? And then some months later, there's an even better LLM for their workload, or an even better set of tools and tool chains that will come from a different vendor, right? And now suddenly they're stuck. Okay, how do I adopt this instead? Do I have to rewrite my whole app? It gets very difficult. But if you have the right foundation in place that is resilient in the face of change and lets you adopt new technologies and new tools in a more agile and resilient way, then you're not going to force all of that redesign, reinvention downstream. You can enable AI teams to adopt the more recent technologies, especially data technologies, without having it be a fundamental redo of their AI application. And so that's where, you know, Denodo comes in. We can be the data strategy that helps you align your data with your AI strategy. Treat all your data as a single layer, and everything that would work with that data layer is essentially plug and play. So you can easily swap out a different large language model. You can swap out, you know, different tools, or plug in different tools in the tool chain that a developer can use. The AI SDK itself, by the way, is open source. We open sourced it under the Apache license. So even if there was some plug and play that we didn't support out of the box, it's easy for an AI team to do that themselves, because we open source that whole framework. So organizations can then basically extend and enhance Denodo to serve their own best practices and their own needs as they go along. This is great for systems integrators and channel partners as well, by the way, where they may want to adopt a specific way of building AI apps. I have a reference implementation, for example, right? So with Denodo, you're able to do that, right? You can swap in different AI tools as well as, you know, different developer tools to meet your needs. And we've seen this just in the last few months. Like 3 or 4 months ago, DeepSeek came out, which promised to be a much more cost-effective way of running, you know, AI workloads, you know, without a reduction in accuracy, right? It showed to be just as accurate, or the results were just as good as the then mainstream large language models. So we had a lot of customers adopt it, but you know, they noticed some pros and cons, like it performed better in this scenario, but maybe at the expense of latencies and so on, because the way its reasoning model worked was different. But through Denodo, customers were able to try that out quickly. Say, with an existing AI application, let me swap in a different large language model and see how it does. You know, do I get different results? Is the cost and performance trade-off more to my liking? So that kind of trial and error is much more doable using Denodo and our AI SDK than if AI developers were just kind of off on their own devices. So the final thing I want to point out is the way we implemented RAG, Retrieval Augmented Generation. We have a more metadata-driven approach. So basically leveraging our semantic layer to make sure that we are accessing the right data and before we actually try to access it, right? So that then becomes a much more performant and dealing with much less data movement and smaller volumes of data as a result. So we gave it a name called Query RAG to indicate, you know, we're looking at the semantic layer, we're looking at the metadata to ensure we're going to go after the right and most relevant data. And then that's exactly what we're querying. And then it's based on that result set that the AI is generating its responses. And so we've tried Query RAG against all the mainstream LLMs, and it just works. Like I said, there may be some performance and latency and cost trade-offs that are inherent in how the LLMs work. But that kind of plug and play, we make it very easy. And in a rapidly dynamic and fast-changing space like this, you know, it seems like every day there's another cool tool that's being released. You need to have a framework in place where you can assimilate and try out different things quickly. And Denodo can help you do that.
Thank you, Dominic, for sharing your insights on how organizations can confidently embrace AI while maintaining strong data management. And this wraps up part 3 of our Scaling Innovation series based on the features of the Denodo 9.2, highlighting data products, data marketplaces, and AI and data management. This was an eye-opener, Dominic, to understand how Denodo helps organizations access and manage AI-ready data. So thanks for sharing. And to our listeners, whether you've just joined or followed us through all 3 episodes, we hope the series has helped you better understand how Denodo 9.0 is shaping the future of data management. And be sure to check out part 1 and 2 if you haven't already. They cover data marketplaces and data products. Once again, thanks for joining us today, Dominic.
Thank you.
And to our listeners, if you've enjoyed this episode, please head over to denodo.com/podcast to find out more resources on all things data.